What's up, Internet? You're tuning in episode 39 of Nintendo Noise, Flip Screen Games weekly Nintendo podcast. I'm your host, Pete and Bessie, joined as always by my very good friends and co-hosts, Mr. Stephen Radford.
Hello, hello.
And joining us again this week, Sierra Plus Ultra.
Hello.
Welcome back, Sierra. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing pretty good, you know. Chewie abandoned us to go gallivant off in, I won't say where he is. I don't want to dox him like that, but he's out there exploring the Wild West. And of course, that left us shorthanded this week, so we were able to bring you back on, which is always a pleasure. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it's a great week for you to be on because, of course, the topic on everybody's mind, I think, this week in Nintendo land is... Fall Guys, finally coming to Nintendo Switch. We've been waiting on it for 2 years now, which is insane. It is like, time is so meaningless now, right? Like between, 2020 feels like it was like 6 months ago, but it also feels like forever ago.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's this property that's been in this weird limbo, finally coming across the bow. And I know, Sierra, you've been excited to play it because you've never gotten your hands on it before, right?
Nope. I've actually played it on PS4, but
okay.
Like I, you know, I've been waiting for it to come to the Switch so that like I can play with my boyfriend while he's on the PlayStation. So it's been a long time coming and I'm glad it's finally here.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to chatting about it. So we're going to get into that. As well as a couple other things. But before that, let me remind you that this episode of Nintendo Noise is brought to you by our Patreon producers for the month of May. They are, of course, Christian Oliveria, Christopher Valenz, Gabriel Hasselmeyer, a.k.a. Asobi, Mary Berry, Smoky Shake, Wakahula, and Zaid Ida. Thank you all so much for your support over on patreon.com/flipscreengames. Y'all are the realest of the real, and we appreciate your support of this fine program. And... speaking of which, if you want to head over to the Patreon, there's a bunch of perks and goodies you can get. Of course, it's the best way to show your support. Get access to, you get this show early. You can get access to our exclusive podcast over there, One More Thing, where we talk about, this, on the latest episode that we've recorded, which is going to be how I get around this timestamp thing now, we talked all about Steve's experience watching Eurovision, as well as a couple other things that went on that weekend. So you might want to go check that out. I think it's well worth your time. But of course, if you don't have any money to toss our way, there's a bunch of ways you can get involved with Flipscreen. Head over to flipscreen.games. That's our website where you can get links to our Discord, our email address if you want to write in and be a part of the show, maybe even suggest a main topic. That's my challenge to you. Bunch of other ways you can get involved. Just go head over there. However you choose to do it, we're glad to have you. Thank you for tuning in. So, Sierra, it's been a bit since we've had you on the show. So what are you playing lately?
I am still working my way through Arceus. I'm so close. I'm like less than 10 Pokemon away from finishing the decks now. It took so long. I really thought that, like, you know, typically once you get into end game, it's pretty linear how you like have to go find the
sure.
legendaries. But with that added element of like the platforming, like it makes it a lot more challenging. So... I've been stuck on like the traveling genies, but I'm almost done with that feat.
Those fights are tough. Like some
yes.
of those dodges are really hard.
Yeah. So hard. And then I'm also like, I've been doing my best to like really get back into Animal Crossing because I feel like I lost my way with it. That new update sparked like a newfound interest. And then even after that, I fell off again. So I'm like going back and I'm like working on old projects around my island and like trying to like add little bits and pieces to different builds. Like I'm still working on like a temple and also working on like really like making my downtown marketplace look really, really spiffy. So still working on those. But
don't you have a TGI Fridays on your island?
I did.
So and did that like, get torn down for the temple or?
It did. R.I.P.
And did Chewie hook you up with the storefront in the end? Did you manage to get hold of one of those?
We were going to meet up like a few days later or something. Or like we like had vaguely said, like, oh, over the weekend, maybe we meet up. And then I signed in to play one night. And one of the villagers that I would have needed to build a home for in a happy home paradise to get the storefront was on the DLC island. So I just was like, all right, let's hook it up really quick.
Sweet. Awesome. That's lucky.
Very. Oh, my God. The timing.
That's like such a... It really feels like the most low-stakes lottery possible, like when you're like trying to find a specific item and then it happens to drop like that, and like in Animal Crossing specifically. Because obviously that's satisfying in like any game, but the fact that you have to wait like a day before you get to check again, right? If the shop has what you need or if you're going to run into the right villager.
For me, it was the DIY recipes. I remember trying to get the all of the ironwood collection for the DIY recipes in Animal Crossing, and getting a hold of them was so tough. And I was like going into every single time I noticed a villager wasn't out and about, I'd go into all their homes to see if they were the one doing the DIY, to give out the recipe, check in to see if it was in any of the bottles that wash up on the sand. It took absolutely ages. I think I ended up buying one on Nookazon with like with those like tickets that you buy.
I think I did too. I just got so impatient, you know? Yeah. It's like, how many times do I have to roll the dice just to leave it up to chance?
I felt so spoiled during, like, the prime time of Animal Crossing, because, like, I never, like, did Nookazon or anything, because literally everything I wanted, like, somebody in our community was just like, oh, I have it here. It's just like, oh, okay. Great. Like, just I felt like it was like, even like I remember paying off my loan, I was like, oh, I'm like couple million bells away, and we were doing a stream one day and everybody just dropped all the money that I needed on the ground and was just like, and it's like I put over 200 hours into the game, so I certainly, you know, worked for plenty of stuff, but there's like a couple things like that I'd like dropped in my lap and was just like, wow, this is really truly a privileged life I lead here.
I remember though, was it Danny that like contributed all of the money you needed apart from one bell to the bridge?
From one bell.
And then no one else could like donate that day, so you had to wait a whole other 24 hours for the bridge to complete, and it was so toxic.
Incredible troll. Incredible. Oh, those are fun days. I do miss the Animal Crossing like community streams.
Did you ever get into Happy Home Paradise? Did you actually ever try that out?
No,
Pete?
I've still never tried it.
Don't
Maybe
think
one
you
of
are.
These days. I don't know. It's like the thing I struggle with Animal Crossing is like I always want to go back to it, but whenever I try to go back to it, getting back in that rhythm is so hard, you know? And like I feel like a little bit of like whiplash in terms of like, what was I doing? What was I working on? Like, you know,
the good thing with Happy Home Paradise though is you can kind of ignore all of that and just get on a plane and go to work, and it's like a whole separate game that boots up. You don't really need to do like figure out where you were, get your orientation back and stuff.
That is true.
And I really wanted to like Happy Home Paradise as much as I thought I would. I think I came to a conclusion. I just was playing it so I could get all the cool stuff for my own house. And I just wanted to be able to unlock the side partitions, like the half walls that you could get, or the pillars and things. And I never got to the point where I unlocked them. I was just like, I've done three or four houses for them, and that was enough for me. Whereas Macaulay is like a big fan of that style game, like plays House Flipper, stuff like that. And it's like it was a big thing for them.
I think that's my problem too with Happy Home Designer, is like I don't like that element of gaming that much. Mm-hmm. You know, like I've never been the like person who does creative mode, right? In like anything, you know? I'm much more inclined, like I like doing the decor in my own house. Like that's really cool, because that feels more about like the role playing and like the item acquisition and like going from having nothing to then having a home that feels like an expression of your personality, you know? And like that part is fun, but just being like, oh, like make a house for this sporty villager and they like this thing, like just do that. It's like, that's not as appealing to me, you know? And it's like, I can certainly see why it would be, But that's just not usually the kind of experience I gravitate towards, you know? Yeah, so I don't know.
I always hated it when they gave you like these two items that were just so disgusting and didn't go with the theme of the room that they wanted. And you're just like, how the hell do I get this nasty like giant clam shell into this like nice room that I'm building? Or I think one of it was like they wanted a sports room and had to have this like this big old like football neon sign in there. It just looked awful. I was really upset by it. I tried to like hide it in the corner.
This is the one thing I want in this room, and Steve sticks it in the corner behind something else.
Yeah, it's so funny whenever they walk in there and they're like so happy and they're like smiling and like everything, and you like made everything sparkle with the cloth, so that they just like, it's just like sparkles absolutely everywhere in the room.
Just one time, I want a villager to walk in and just be like, "My eyes!" So, Sierra, if anybody wants to tune in and watch you play any of these games, where can they find you?
Twitch.tv/SierraPlusUltra. I stream Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays.
Make sure you tune in. All right. So, let's talk Fall Guys, right?
Yes.
So, Fall Guys, of course... one of the big games of 2020, I think, in that peak, everybody was stuck at home and there was like a real increased attention on video games. Fall Guys came out at the right time. It was free on, if you were on PlayStation and you had PS Plus, it was one of the monthly free download games. So I think that helped give it a really big boost and get it in front of a lot of people that might not have played it otherwise. And then, of course, you know, everybody was asking, right, like, it's on Steam, it's on PlayStation, like, when's it coming to Switch? When's it coming to Xbox? And, you know, it was kind of a long road, but we're finally here. Just like Rocket League before it, it's going free-to-play. Now that Epic bought it, it's going to be coming out on June 21st on both Switch and Xbox, which will also be alongside the release of a PS5 version of the game. So obviously, you know, I'm sure... visually and everything, not going to look that much different, but you can assume that there will be better performance, you know, quicker load times, all that kind of stuff that we come to expect with PlayStation 5 versions. But then also, I think, interestingly, you know, outside of the Nintendo conversation, it's also coming to the Epic Game Store, which means it's going to be delisted on Steam, which is insane. But it makes sense. Epic, you know, obviously wants it to be a premium thing on their store, but like, damn, that's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
That's the one bit of the news I really don't like. Everything else is super positive, really exciting stuff. But the removal from Steam is disappointing to see. But I mean, they have said that they're going to continue to support it. If you bought it over on Steam, you'll continue to get updates for the foreseeable future. It's just if you want it on Steam, you need to get it now.
On PC, you mean?
Yeah, if you want it on Steam now. You need to get it. You need to buy it now ahead of when it's delisted in June. Otherwise, it's free on Epic Games Store after that. But I'm super excited for this. I can't wait. I've not actually played Fall Guys. I don't know if either of you two have, but for me, it was like I never really turned on my PS4. It was like towards the end of its life. I was like well over in camp Xbox at that point. My Series X was on its way, and I just never got around to playing it. You know, this was like what, 2 months, 2-3 months away from the next gen consoles coming. I was like getting really excited for the Series X at this point. I think it was like September, October time they launched. And so I never got around to it, and it really felt like Switch was the right place for it. And then we got like an announcement in February 2021, and then like a delay, and it was just like, is this ever even coming at this point? And we just kept hearing from Mediatonic that yes, it's still coming, and it seemingly never was going to arrive. And then we saw Nintendo retweeting all of these like hype announcements from Fall Guys this last week, so like the rumors were flowing that it was coming, and obviously the news was that it is, along with free to play, which is great.
I remember when it like first dropped, And it takes, like, sometimes it takes a while for me to get around to, like, a really hype game that everyone is just hopping on the bandwagon. But, like, it was one of those games that, like, right away I saw how fun it was and, like, the value. And it was a challenge that, for me, like, was really interesting. It's, like, everything's really cute and, like, it's really goofy. The ragdoll physics are hilarious. It's, you know, you can still be so sweaty at the game and lose so hard.
Oh my God.
And that's what makes it so fun to play. Like the accomplishment of, like, making it through, to the next round and, like, watching as everyone gets picked off. Like,
High intensity mixed with just, like, how truly ludicrous it is something that I remember when I played it a good amount when it first dropped as well. And I only because it was, you know, free on PlayStation and why not, right? And I got really into it for a couple of weeks. And I remember, like, every time I would watch, I would have that moment that you're describing where, like, I'd be, like, screaming, like, really intense, like, ah, like, get there. And just, like, my partner is sitting there watching me play, and just, like, the goofiest looking, like, it looks like the silliest, like, most low stakes, low intensity game. But when you're trying to steer this freaking balloon man up to the finish line, it's, you know, like, you really gotta get in it to even have a chance at winning, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
And it really is low stakes. Like, the levels are so stupid. It's like run through some doors that some of them are, like, gonna close in front of you before you get there and stuff. Or, like, there's some rotating platforms you have to navigate. It really is just like a race to the finish line. And I think it's so fun because it's so accessible to anyone. It's literally just move and that's it. Like, you're literally just going forwards and anyone can do that. It's not like something like Fortnite, for example, where there is like a level of there's like a learning curve, right? You've got to learn to build, you've got to learn to shoot, you've got to be familiar with, like, third or first person shooters before you get into it, really. And it is an online competitive game, so it's not the most easy game to get into. Whereas
there's a level of skill required just to even enjoy it at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, Fall Guys, I think, is fun even if you're terrible.
Yeah. And that's the whole point, right? I can't imagine, like, playing this with, like, a bunch of people in the same room and just, like, laughing at each other, how ridiculous it is and how ridiculous the levels are. And I know there's been, up to this point, I think, 6 seasons. So presumably since the two of you played it, there's been a ton more content added and a ton more levels and, like, outfits and things. I know they had like tie-ins with minions and things like that. And I would imagine now that Epic's involved, they're going to continue with that. It seems to have been a winning formula for them for Fortnite, for sure.
And Rocket League to a lesser extent, right? Even before Epic bought Rocket League, that was, like, one of the big things they would do. Is like, oh, we got the Batmobile this month. We got the Back to the Future car, like, whatever, right? The DeLorean. So I think you're probably right there. And I remember seeing, like, they had, like, a Sonic crossover with Fall Guys, too. I remember seeing, like, the Sonic costume and stuff like that. So they've definitely, you know, been experimenting with that, I think, for some time.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping we would see, like, a Nintendo tie-in like they did with the Minecraft, like, Switch edition, and they did with the Wii U version as well. Because it'd be cool to see, like, a little Mario and Luigi costume that you could, like, just team up with your friends and, like, have, like, a little mustache on and, like, the overalls and stuff. I think that would be really fun. Or, like, a Zelda one or Kirby one where it's, like, bright pink or whatever.
I feel like it could still happen, but I think the big thing that'll probably preclude that is the fact that Nintendo doesn't want that content on other consoles, right?
Yes.
That was the thing, I think, that kept, if memory serves, right, that was the thing that kept Samus from being in Fortnite, was the idea that, like, a Nintendo character is playable on Xbox or PlayStation, right? Like,
I can imagine so. I mean, but is that, I guess maybe that comes down to, like, a decision by Epic. Is there a reason why it couldn't just be playable on a Switch, but it shows up on other people's consoles? Or maybe Nintendo doesn't want the Mario outfit.
I think it's just, like, they want Nintendo stuff on Nintendo. They're so, like, you know, it's very much the walled garden thing. At least that's my perception of it, right? Like, I, you know.
Yeah.
That it seems that way. But you mentioned all the new content and everything, and there is the game is also getting like a bit of a soft relaunch. Like there's going to be the new season that's starting off is being referred to as Season 1 Free For All.
So confusing.
It's like a reset, right? Like they're essentially just gonna, you know, bin it off and that'll be that. And there'll be a premium season pass that you can buy in game with a new in game currency called Show Bucks. And then there'll also be the free tier where you can just play and, you know, progress a limited amount through the season pass. Like plenty of other games operate that
way. It's the Fortnite model 100%, right? You get your bucks and you spend them on the pass, or if you don't want to, then you can go to the cosmetic store and buy things there, and it works and people love it. And that has worked now. That like battle pass has worked for so many games at this point. I think it really is a proven model. And it incentivizes
Especially for a multiplayer game.
Yeah, it incentivizes people to keep playing. You unlock exclusive stuff by playing. It kind of, if you're into the game, I think you said this when you were playing Pokemon Unite, like it kind of pays for itself after a certain period of time, right? You unlock so much stuff by buying it if you're playing the game actively that if you'd have bought the individual items in the cosmetic store, it would have cost way, way, way more.
Yeah, and I feel like there's that sense, at least for me, and, you know, like if it's a game that's free to play and I'm enjoying playing it, like I want to pay something for it, right? Like I'm enjoying the game. I want to see it continue to get content updates, and I want to see, you know, more cosmetics or more maps or more game modes, right? And got to pay for that somehow. So it's like it feels like the right thing to do, you know, like as well as a thing that is, I think, worth the money more often than not. You know,
How do you feel about doing that for games that cost money? Because obviously a lot of people paid us not an insignificant sum of money for this. You know, I think it's like $25 on Steam and on PlayStation at this at the moment. And then to have that all of a sudden switch to a free to play model where there's the season pass that you've got to pay for. Yeah. I can imagine there'll be some people out there who feel a little bit stung, especially if they bought the game like last week, for example.
So Mediatonic is going to be giving every person that already owns the game a legacy pack, which is going to include a bunch of cosmetic items and then the first season pass for free. So okay, I think so that good. So takes that a lot of the sting out of it. Cost.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're honoring that player base. But I also would argue that, like, unless you just bought the game, right, and then this news came out, like, I could see you feeling some kind of way about that. But in my mind, if you're somebody who bought the game 2 years ago or, like, in the last 2 years and you are actively playing it or want to actively be playing it, a multiplayer game going free-to-play is almost always a good thing for the players because it means that there's more people playing the game, right? And if the game is more active, it's quicker for you to get in a match. You know, there's an influx of new players who suck ass that you can just clown on for a couple weeks. That's always fun. You know, I think there's a tangible benefit for a game that requires an active, healthy multiplayer community to go free to play. And as long as you don't feel burned by what they're offering you as like a quote unquote legacy player, then, you know, I feel more often than not that works out.
No, I think you're right. Yeah, I was like this close to buying it last week on Steam so I could play it on the Steam Deck. And I'm just so glad that I held out now because, like, it's a month now and I can then play it on any console for free. And, like, it's all cross progression and you can, like, you know, you can play it on Xbox and then you can pick it up on Switch or you can play it on your PC and then go over to your Steam Deck.
I'm wondering if I'll get the legacy stuff because I got it for free from PlayStation.
That would be my guess, right?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because that's seen
you
as
probably
like
did the same thing, right,
purchased
Sierra?
Thing.
I'll have to see. So it's technically my boyfriend Jeremiah's account.
Right.
So I'll have to be like, yo, see if you get that.
Yeah, I'm interested. Because, like, I wouldn't, you know. I'll tell you what, if they give me that stuff, that'd be an incentive to play the game again. Because I'm at a point where, like, I don't know. Like, I don't feel motivated to play the game again in a significant way. But if, like, y'all are playing it, and maybe if we're streaming it,
and I'm going to be streaming it.
if I get a free season pass, like those are all things that I could definitely see me motivating me like to play it again, right? Oh, if y'all are playing it and talking about it, then I'm going to be like, all right, okay, let's go. I'll jump back in.
We've got to do like a Nintendo Noise stream, right? On the Flip Screen channel or over on Sierra's channel or on Chewie's channel. Somewhere we've got to be playing four guys with the four of us. It'll be so much
we'll just
fun.
Keep rotating channels between each match every time we drop into a new match.
My Twitch channel crawl.
Oh, I love that. That's a great, yeah.
I'm excited. I stopped playing because I was like, well, it'll come to Switch soon, right? Right? And I just waited. If I knew that it was going to take this long, I would have just been like, hey, Jeremiah, can I get some time on the PS5? Like an hour or so.
Keep your chops up.
Yeah, exactly. I might even do that this weekend. I don't know. I really wanted it on Switch. And like, typically when games, like, even if I'm really interested in playing them on the PS5 or, you know, Xbox, whatever, I tend to wait to see if they end up on the Switch because, you know, those are not consoles where I can like pick it up and play it in another location. Sure. If I want to play multiplayer, you know, I can't. Like with someone locally, like with my boyfriend, I can't. So I held out. But I'm like, I'm really excited to get in there, and I'll probably be really active on it at least for like a few weeks, I imagine. Like, you know, games cycle out and new things pop up, but I've been waiting for this, and I think I'll genuinely sink a lot of time into it.
Nice. I'll tell you what, when we went into this conversation, I definitely was like, I don't care. Like, this game's old. I'm not trying to play this again. But now that y'all are excited about it, I'm like, oh, okay.
All well, right. I mean,
no, I understand.
There's just so much going in. And, like, seeing what they do with the Fortnite seasons just gives me such hope as to what we could maybe see in, like, Season 2, Season 3, Season 4, like, going forward. They always have these such, like, crazy wacky ideas and new modes and like a weird narrative and story around everything with like cutscenes and like tie-ins with like Spider-Man or Star Wars or, like,
I don't know that it's gonna
franchises.
Get to that level though.
I don't know, like I can see that, like I really feel like the brand deals is where a lot of the revenue is like coming from, like the Disney tie-in and stuff like that, and going free to play, coming from Epic, being pushed as hard as it is, launching on two new platforms on the same day, I could see that being a huge influx of new people.
You might be right.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the thing that makes me think that that's not going to be as easy for Fall Guys is I think the reason that Fortnite is able to get all of these deals is because Fortnite is like the Lego of video games, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, everybody wants to have a Lego set, right? It doesn't matter what IP you are. Doesn't matter how precious you are about your IP. Everybody wants a Lego set because Lego is a ubiquitous brand, right? And it's like a status symbol to be like, our IP was relevant enough to be made into a Lego set. It's like an honor, right? I think that Fortnite has a similar cachet, especially outside the world of video games, right? If you're just some exec at, you know, Marvel or DC or Image Comics or wherever, right? Where like they're like, oh, we want to put Batman in Fortnite. We want to put Spider-Man in Fortnite. We want to put characters from The Walking Dead in Fortnite. Like, yeah, like why not, right? Like, why wouldn't you want to have your character in the most popular video game in the world and make a couple $1 million or whatever the, you know, the split is for them to put a Batman skin in this game, and you literally all you have to do is approve it, right? Like, okay, yeah. It's like, it's a winning proposition. And, like, who's to say? Like, there might be a lot of brands that are down to do that with Fall Guys. I'm sure that will be the case. But I wonder if it's going to be able to get the same breadth of IP that Fortnite can, just because Fortnite's a vacuum. That's why I think it's able to just get anything, you know, is that, like, especially if you're, like, not a huge IP, like, you know, when, like, they've done, like, some more nostalgic, like, stuff, you know, like the Terminator stuff or whatever, and it's like yeah, whatever, right? Like, who gives a shit about Terminator right now? Put it in Fortnite. That might make it relevant. Like, there's value to being just in Fortnite, you know, that Fall Guys will have to prove that it can have a similar level of success, you know, because as much as it had a moment in 2020. Like, I don't know what the concurrents are right now, but, and I'm, like you said, they're probably going to go way up as it gets on more platforms and goes free to play. But is it going to come even close to what Fortnite can achieve? Like, that's a tall, tall order, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I think mobile is probably the next place for them to go, right, and triumph over. Because I feel like this would be a great fit on mobile, and they don't have a mobile version at this point.
That would be so, so fucking hard to control, though. Like, can you imagine trying to, like, Sierra, think about how hard it is to steer these fucking characters with a controller. Now imagine you're doing it with a friggin' touchscreen. It's like, oh no.
Yeah, I all in all though, I think this announcement's really exciting, and that combined with the level editor that's coming in the future, like, that is so cool. The fact that anyone can just build these new wacky courses and do what they want, like Super Mario Maker style, is awesome. And I can imagine tons of people have ideas that Mediatonic has never even thought of, right? I was watching Takeshi's Castle last night because this announcement got me excited for it, and Takeshi's Castle was like one of the game shows that inspired Fall Guys. It's this crazy Japanese show where a hundred people get whittled down over a number of challenges, like running through walls and doors and like running up a slope of soap and things like that. And then eventually there's like a final challenge. You should absolutely watch it if you haven't seen Takeshi's Castle. It's hilarious. And like some of the stuff in there, I would love to see to come to Fall Guys. Like, there's this one where there's like this really wobbly bridge, and they just fire balls at you, and you have to catch catch a golden one while avoiding all of the other balls as you like walk across this really wobbly bridge. And I could 100% see something like that working in Fall Guys. There's a ton of things that people could bring in, and I love that. And the level of creativity you see from gamers always astonishes me, because I'm the kind of person, I think we've had this conversation a million times, Pete, where I always like to think that I would be great at making a game and that I've got a great idea, but then when it comes to it, like on Mario Maker, I made like one crappy level and I was just like, I'm just going to see what everyone else has done.
I don't want to do that shit. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was the same with like Little Big Planet or whatever. And I feel like if there's like a ability to just download like the favorite courses and like add them into rotation of to the possibility of what might randomly come up and stuff, it could be really cool. Like, especially if we could all make, say, like a flip screen course, and like that goes into like rotation, we like have like a bunch of our own weird courses that we play with the community. I think it could be really cool,
for sure. Yeah. And I mean, those are also things that just add to the longevity of a game, right? Like,
yeah,
because players can maybe come up with a fun, like, I remember like the zombie mode in Halo, like Infected, like that started as a Forge game, you know, and like there's a couple, like the, what is it, I forget what it's called, but it's the one where everybody's on a mongoose and you have rocket launchers and like it's like a race, and like that's like that started as like a Forge game, you know, and they become official game modes sometimes, or they become so popular that, you know, it becomes like one of the most popular things to play in the game, right? Like there was like a bunch of stuff in like TF2 and everything back in the day. Like, I forget what it's called. It's the one where like one person spawns as like a random item, and then like you have to like hide, and like it's like a hide and seek thing, you know? And, like shit like that, you know? It's like totally just from, you know, user creativity, and it totally opens the game up in a lot of ways, and it'll, you know, the fact that it's free to play and anybody can get access to those tools that's really cool. And on the note of that, they have said that it's a fair way from release. So just to clarify, that won't be available as soon as the relaunch happens. But it also has the same rules as Super Mario Maker, for what that's worth, where you have to be able to beat the level before you can post it to the public. So that's a good thing.
I don't know what that means, though, because most of those levels on Super Mario Maker were so hard, I couldn't beat them anyway. They were, like, ridiculous. I don't understand how people are able to be that good at platformers.
It makes me realize that I'm not good at platformers.
Oh, I'm terrible. Right, is the thing. Yeah.
Like, I think of myself as being pretty good at them, but it's like there's a whole other level to actually being good at games that like I've never even scratched the surface of, you know. It's humbling. So the other thing that I think is interesting about this, I guess, is like the timeline of like why this happened and why it's been so long, right? We've talked a lot about how it's been like 2 years. And we did a little bit of digging and established what I think is a timeline that makes a lot of sense. So the game's originally released in August 2020, PS4 and Steam, gets announced for Switch and Xbox February 2021, supposed to come out in the summer. The studio was acquired by Epic in March 2021. The releases were then delayed in April. And I imagine that that time was, I mean, obviously they're changing publishers, right, from Devolver to Epic. That's going to take some time. But also, like, this is probably, they've spent the last, you know, year or whatever since it was supposed to have come out, like, changing the model over to a free-to-play model and, like, figuring out what the mechanics of that look like. So it makes it make a little bit more sense, but it still just seems so crazy that, like, this game had its moment like 2 years ago, and it feels like it's just kind of disappeared since then.
I know.
Yeah, it's a real shame, because I do think that if they'd have hit that like summer release last year, where it's out on every platform, that they could have done really well with it. And it is a shame that they decided that they needed to delay it for whatever reason. You know, I do think there's probably like an element of maybe like contracts and exclusivity and things behind the scenes that they had to wait some times out, for example, like 2 years or 18 months to 2 years, pretty much to the day after release. Like, it's June 21st. It came out on like August 4th. It's very, very close in terms of dates. It seems a little bit kind of fishy to me that it wouldn't be related to the fact that maybe Devolver had an agreement to publish for 2 years, for example, on Switch or new platforms or things like that, and they wanted to wait that out, and so that Epic could publish it themselves. Same thing with like delisting it from Steam, for example.
That makes sense to me.
And there could also be like a level of exclusivity with like PlayStation or whatever. We've seen that before, where games have been announced and have just either not happened because they've remained exclusive on another console or something. So I think there's probably some stuff behind the scenes we don't know about, alongside the switch to free to play and to the kind of the season pass model.
Yeah, you know, I don't know so much about games that I can like accurately forecast like how these things happen or like why they take so long. Like, the only thing I can liken it to is like when like a record takes a long time to come out because like there's a lot of legal stuff and things need to be like signed, like behind the scenes, like contracts, blah blah blah, blah. And like I can imagine though that like, you know, a lot of folks, you know who developed the game are probably like very well aware like, yo, this is taking forever. This is taking so long. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who like were kind of powerless in this situation. So hopefully like this new resurgence of Fall Guys will, you know, make it feel like none of that time even mattered.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And I think there's a good chance of that, you know, like,
yeah,
whatever your feelings are about Epic as a company or as like a storefront or whatever. I think they have a really good opportunity here to like kind of help elevate the game to something a little bit more than it was and like more of what it was aspiring to be, and what like it felt like it was capable of becoming. So we'll see.
Yeah, and to echo what Sierra said, shout out to the community managers and social media teams who absolutely have just been answering the question of when is it coming to Switch for the last 2 years. They can finally now give people an answer of June 21st.
It's like, I promise, if I could tell you, I would.
Right?
Oh, man. Yeah, so I it's going to be interesting to see what the shelf life of this one is, and like if it is able to come back and establish a niche for itself and kind of stick have a little bit more like staying power and be a little bit stickier, or if it's going to kind of just have a repeat performance of what happened when it dropped in 2020, where it has a spike and then, you know, kind of settles to the community that's still playing. You know
I really hope not, and I feel like the season pass, that's his job, is to keep people coming back. And
it had a season pass, though.
Not like this. Like the season, I think the seasons were like when they like paid for DLC that you downloaded like additional levels or something. I didn't think it was like a season pass model, like Fortnite's, unless I'm mistaken, because I haven't played the game.
My recollection of it was that you had the pass. Well, it wasn't. I don't know. It was weird because like you would level up, and there was like weekly and daily things that you could unlock, and you had like there was like a currency that you would unlock by playing and winning, and like you were incentivized to play more. Because it's like, well, I want this specific piece of gear and I can only get it until the timer's out. And then I don't know if it's going to ever show up again or whatever. So it had like a little bit of that like Animal Crossing thing that we talked about where it's like, oh, I want this week. Like, let me make sure I play enough to get it, you know? But yeah, to your point, it's definitely a more the Fortnite model, right? That season pass is a proven thing.
Yes.
Works well.
Yeah, and we spoke about this over on the Flip Screen Games podcast this week, so go check out Monday's episode if you haven't listened to it, where we spoke about Halo, right? Halo Infinite, and how it failed at this model because it didn't have the content lined up for the next seasons. And I can imagine a huge part of this process in switching over to this model, the free-to-play, on Mediatonic's and Epic's side, is ensuring that they've got at least another season, if not two, three more seasons planned out in terms of content that they know is coming and what's in the pipeline. They've been so quick at being able to add stuff to Fortnite that other games have just been struggling to keep up. Like Halo is a prime example of that. And I feel like if they can do that here and continue to add new content, like react to memes and things like they do with Fortnite, like you'll see a dance on TikTok the next week, it'll be in Fortnite. That kind of stuff, if they can repeat that with Fall Guys, I think that will keep people coming back. It will be like the place you want to go to, just like when you don't want to go and play Fortnite and you do just want to goof around with your friends and just be like, oh, let's just be on Discord, let's just be hanging out together, and this is just something we're doing. That's what I do with a bunch of friends. I know it's what a lot of people do with friends. They just want to hang out on an evening after work, and they just want to chill out, and it's just an excuse to come together and chat while they're playing something that's like really low stakes. And Fall Guys is the perfect fit for that, and I hope that it really does find like a big audience now that's coming to more platforms.
Agreed. So that'll put a pin in the Fall Guys conversation for now. Of course, when the game drops, I'm sure we'll have a lot more to say. And apparently, we're streaming it, so keep your eyes peeled. Excuse me, keep your eyes peeled for that. But I want to have a little follow up conversation to close out the show. So last week, we talked a little bit about Nintendo's financial report and all the news that had come out of that, of which there was a good amount. And one of the bits that we talked about was how Nintendo recognizes the importance of keeping the Switch audience activated as they transition to the next generation, right? And this, you know, is an article from Video Games Chronicle. It made it around the internet, and there was a lot of conversation about the translation in the week since we had the discussion. So I thought it'd be worth addressing here. Because in the initial VGC article, right, the translation was that it was a major concern, right, for Nintendo to make sure that they were keeping this audience activated and that they're not, you know, having a hard reset, right, as much as possible. And there's been a little bit of kind of like back and forth about this. Some people have accused the translator of it being like a lazy Google Translate. The author in question is somebody who actually does Japanese translation, right? Their name is Robert Cephizon. So I that is, you know, I think probably harsh to characterize it that way. Whereas there's another person who had a thread that was making the rounds this week. It's another Japanese to English translator who's worked on some games like Tales of Arise and Ghostwire. And was bringing up the fact that like that is like a valid interpretation of it to some degree, but that like there's nuance to saying concern, right? And like even we talked about that last week, saying like we were making the comparison of like Game Boy to Game Boy Advance and DS to 3DS and Wii to Wii U, and how there was that drop off. So we certainly characterize it at least some way negative, but like the kind of, you know, updated, now we have like the official translation, right? And rather than it being kind of the negative connotation of major concern, the more accepted translation is more that like they're working to make sure that that transition is as smooth as possible. Personally, I don't think that's that much of a distinction. That's very much how we talked about it anyway, right? Even with that, I guess, more negative connotation. But it felt worth bringing up here just to kind of clarify and add that context. But also, it gives us an opportunity to talk about a Switch successor with Sierra. So I figure we'll bring it back up and we'll talk a little bit about what happens after Nintendo Switch here. So, you know, wanted to just provide that that correction there. Shout out to Mango from the community for initially bringing the updated translation to Steve and I's attention. So thank you for that, buddy. But one of the things that, you know, I kind of want to talk about here, right, is getting a little bit more in the nitty gritty of what a Switch successor looks like. Because we've talked a lot about it in small capacities. But there's this article I found from Video Games Chronicle that quotes some analysts who seem to believe that the successor to the Switch is at least 2 years away, right? Which I think is a timeline that makes sense, right? That like 8-ish years, we've talked about the idea of there being some crossover, you know, where the Switch is maybe still supported for another year or so, and it hits that 10-year life cycle that Nintendo keeps touting. But I think there's a lot of ways to interpret that and to talk about it. So,
I don't think there's any interpretation of what he's saying. Like, apparently the analyst in question, right, that they're referencing,
yes,
over at Ampere, is forecasting a release in 2024, which to me just seems too late. Like, I guess it's not, because like 2023 is next year, but. I don't know about you two, but
life cycle.
Yeah, I know.
I
just feel like I need something new now.
I know. I think it's because, like, I know the Switch is not meant to be like a PS5 or like an Xbox Series X. Fine. But, like, the next Breath of the Wild game is about to come out. And, like, I, on like a regular old Switch, experienced so many frame rate drops.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, I haven't tried it. I haven't tried Breath of the Wild on the OLED yet. But is there answer to that then? Like, everyone go upgrade to the OLED for now until we give you like the Switch Advance or like the Switch, like the Switch 2? Like,
I hope they call it the Switch Advance. That would be sick.
That would be amazing. Like, yeah. I really thought we were going to get a Pro next year, but like that article says, like, I don't think we're getting the Pro. And it's definitely very confusing, and it's definitely kind of odd, because I don't know. I think some new hardware, like upgraded hardware, would be really nice now for everything that's bound to come out on like the Switch or this generation. But what can I do but just be along for the ride, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like, I think a lot of people feel that way, right? Where it's like, even if you're somebody who loves the Switch, like, I think most people are feeling ready for an upgrade. I think especially if you do own a next-gen console, there's, like, a quality of life there that, like, I feel used to now. And, like, playing on the Switch, like, load times are long, you know? And, like, I'm tired of jagged edges. I'm tired of dropped frames, you know?
You know, I think even if you don't own a next-gen console, I think it's even more egregious, right? You wanted to play Kingdom Hearts on your Switch. What do you get? You get a cloud version. You don't even get to be able to play a native version.
Yeah.
Possibly because they didn't put the effort in to port them. Possibly because it just can't run it with the development time that they're able to give it. And I feel like we're just going to see that more and more and more as time progresses, that the only way the Steam's able to play these games that people want to play is by streaming them. And I just don't think that's a good enough experience. And
hell, those aren't even modern games, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. Kingdom Hearts 3 is a last gen title, which, yeah, you know, I mean, the Switch is not even powerful enough to play those games. That's rough. Yeah. Like, it's operating on just above the PS3's level. And that's, you know, like, that's an increasingly hard pill to swallow.
Yeah, agreed. And, you know, I really hope that this analyst is incorrect and we do see something. But, I could easily see it. I could see us getting an announcement next September or something. Like we got with, like, the NX, right? It was like, oh, the NX is coming. You'll see more about it. I could see them saying that the Switch 2 is coming, and then we see like an announcement in like January, February of 2024, and then it comes out in like the March, April period again. So it hits that end of year 2024.
I think that's going to be more likely. And maybe it's early 2024. Like maybe they do the March release.
Yeah,
again,
I'm on about
right?
like fiscal like, year end, right? So like right, their sure, April, sure. April year end.
But. I mean, like, I can't imagine it comes before then. We haven't even heard of it, right? Like, we're working on a Switch successor. But, like, every time they've been asked about it, it's like, yeah, we're working on it. But the Switch is a 10-year life cycle. The Switch is what we're working on. The Switch is what we're selling.
And you
it
know
hasn't
like,
seen a significant decline in sales. They haven't yeah. even done a price cut, ever. The thing's fucking, you know, like,
they've done a
six
price
years
increase,
in.
Realistically, and sold, like, OLED Switches more expensive.
And then they didn't even do a price cut then. They're like, here's a premium model you can spend more on, but the original one that is, like, seven-year-old technology, we're still selling for the same price. And they can't make enough of them to sell. Right? It's like, yeah. what's the yeah. incentive? Right? Like, we as players, right, especially, like, hardcore activated players, are maybe ready for new hardware, but the market doesn't seem to be, right? Like, folks are still out buying Switches in droves. The software sales are better than ever. You know, it's like, where's the motivation for them, right? Like,
yeah.
But I feel like that was the same with the PS4, right? The PS4 was selling better than ever towards the end of its lifespan. It was, like, the best-selling
sure.
console.
That's
and
true.
Like, you know, the PS5 comes out, and they can't make enough of those either, so...
Yeah.
There's got to be a certain point where everyone else sees it and Nintendo's got to see it too. And it's just like, okay, enough's enough. It's time to release something fresh and something new. Whether that's just an upgraded Switch or whether that is like a full-on successor, I don't know what it looks like. But I really do hope that we get something in the next year or so. I think to compete against, you know, compete against the next-gen consoles... You kind of need something at this point. People are gonna get left behind in terms of the games that can be played on these devices. You're gonna get limited to just Nintendo stuff at a certain point, and third parties are gonna drop off their support pretty sharpish, I would imagine.
I mean, that's already in, like, not a factor though, right? Like, how many third party games are like integral to the Switch's success mm-hmm. that aren't indies, right? And indies aren't going anywhere. They're gonna keep putting their games out on Switch.
No, that's true, but we've already seen, like, say, EA with FIFA. They haven't put out, like, a proper version of FIFA. Like, it's always just a rehash of the year previous. So you never get, like, the actual yeah. version. It would be cool for them to be able to do that and, like, do, like, a proper version and give the hundreds million people that own a Switch the chance to play, like, a proper full-on version of the game that's, like, the best-selling game in Europe.
I don't know if they'll ever get there, though. You know, it's like, unless their goal is to have some level of parity where it's like, hey, the next Switch is a Switch, but it's as powerful as these next-gen consoles. Like,
it doesn't need to be as powerful as the next-gen consoles. It could be as powerful as a PS4, I think, at this point. Like, let's step it up a
notch.
Then
you're already a whole generation behind yeah. again. And how long until we're back in the exact same situation? Right? And it's like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, Xbox is selling the Series S at like $300. Is it insane to think that they could make a Switch successor that costs a little bit more?
$350, $380, maybe $400. Yeah.
Is that crazy? I don't know. Maybe, but it's tough. Because, like, I think the fact that they're on this, like, 0.5 now generation thing where it's like, because they released the Switch early, it's kind of between these generations, right? Like, I feel like the next thing that you put out, you're going to want it to have a little bit more under the hood so that, like, you don't... Because imagine that, right? Like, you make it more powerful and, like, more modern. Like, you don't run into the same problem. Like, if you're 6 years right. into the Switch 2's life cycle and it's still, you know, it's a little bit less powerful than the next-gen consoles, but it's close. and it's still selling like hotcakes, and you're not having development, you know, caps on like what you're able to achieve on the console, then like they could have a longer life cycle, you know, like maybe that's something that they're thinking about. But I don't know. It's also like we don't know if they might come out and like try to pivot and do like a smartphone thing where like it's less of a hard generation change and more of a like, yeah, well, yeah, you can play your games on Switch, but they run better on Switch too. And eventually we'll phase out the Switch, right? Like that's something that Steve's been saying, like, you know, for all year, right? Like that's where you feel like you think they're going to go, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's got to be that way. I think that's what people expect. To have sold hundreds of millions of games to people and then have a new console come out and you go, yeah, they don't work on this one. I feel like that's just shooting yourself in the foot. And it's that, yeah. It's that, you know, they want that smooth transition that they've spoken about, right? You know, it's not big concern, it's that smooth transition. And I think to have a smooth transition, you want to be able to capitalize on that player base you just sold to. The last two generations of consoles that they've done, like from the GameCube to the Wii to the Wii U, not to mention the like Game Boy to the DS, the DS to the 3DS, you've always been able to bring your games with you. And I think they're going to want to be able to do the same thing. There is like a technology limitation potentially because the NVIDIA chips that they're going to be using, like the next version of the Tegra, isn't technically compatible with the first version. There may need to be some kind of compatibility layer in there. But heck, Valve's been able to do it with Proton to get Windows games running on Linux. I find it hard to believe that Nintendo and NVIDIA wouldn't be able to do it with their partnership,
yeah,
to get their old games working on the new chips with some kind of layer either transpiling or emulating in between.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I don't think there's an excuse for that either. I think that's a thing that would be really hard to swallow, especially when you look at how high the software sales are, right? And what that means for how many games the average Switch player owns or buys a year. Like, we've all built huge libraries on the Switch. We're not going to be happy about having to abandon them for, especially if the next console is a Switch 2, right? If it looks like a Switch and it's essentially a more powerful Switch, there's no way that you're going to be able to be like, accept that I just lose all those games for no reason, right?
Especially when the competition's just had that transition, right? And this was the time when PS4 to PS5, you could bring the games with you. The last time PS3 to PS4, they did not follow you.
And like, that's the only generation where Sony hasn't done that either, mm-hmm, where there was like just no plan.
Yeah,
it's
that weird architecture they weren't able to accomplish it. But I just think it would be such a bad look if it didn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about that, Sierra? Like, do you like the idea of like a less defined generations and more like hardware iterations where like eventually you phase out Switch 1 when Switch 2 becomes more ubiquitous, and then we phase out Switch 2 for a, you know, whatever. And maybe it's not a 2 or 3, it's more like, you know, like the way that the iPhone does it or some shit like that. Like,
yeah.
Is that like appealing to you, or do you like the idea of like a more hard console generation break that just supports backwards compatibility?
I forget if I said it to y'all on here, but for me, like, I'm more lenient about what the future of Nintendo looks like because it's hard to conceptualize what the successor of the Switch is, because this is such like a novel concept and unique idea that like builds upon like their legacy of like handheld gaming. So it's like I would just, at the very least, I just like, if that means like more loosely defined like upgrades, like you know, like transformations of the unit itself, like I'm not too picky, whereas like you know, it made sense for things like the Game Boy and the DS. I just like want to see a linear progression in like the quality of life improvements, like, and yeah, hopefully whatever they decide to do like will show that like they're thinking about consumers and the gaming experience and not just like I guess like market viability and like like bottom dollar stuff. Like, I really want to, you know, like, genuinely see a better Switch, whatever that may mean. I just want it to be able to do more. And, you know, because I can't see, like, a new idea that would really, you know, like, trump out, like this, what the Switch can currently do. I'm down for, you know, whatever they define the next generation or how you may have it as.
I think that's the scary thing about the position that they're in for me right now, where, like,
yeah,
the Switch was, because, like, when you look at Nintendo's console trajectory, right, like, each, like, Nintendo's biggest thing is innovation, right, and is, like, doing something new, rather, whether it was the home console, like, with, you know, with the NES, and, like, really bringing, like, the arcade quality to the living room, and the D-pad, and, you know, the analog stick, and then motion controls, and, like, all these, like, that's always been kind of the thing that puts them over, and it's when they try to just, like, stay the course that they seem to run into the most trouble. But, like, I don't want anything, like, else but a Switch at this point. Like, I if they had another console that wasn't a modular Switch style experience, I'd be disappointed by that.
I feel like they've had some successes that were like, oh, we're going to continue the success of what we had previously, right? You look at the SNES, it was kind of just continuation of the NES, sure, but just moving into 16-bit. The 3DS and the 2DS and the 2DS XL, they were like really successful consoles. And
they sold about half as many as the DS, though.
They did, but I don't think that is because people weren't interested in it because it was a 3DS and not a DS, right? I think it was because people played games on their phones at that point, and I really do think that cannibalized a lot of the handheld market. But they managed to sell a bunch where Sony didn't, right? The Vita was a massive failure in comparison to the 3DS. And
absolutely.
And I kind of feel that they can't now go back. Now that everyone's experienced the hybrid console, the home console that you can take anywhere with you, I can't ever see them going back to just a home console or just a handheld. Like, maybe there are SKUs that are that. Like, we've got the Switch Lite. Maybe we have, like, a Switch Home box that doesn't have a screen and it's just for the people that want to play docked. But I think for the most part, I expect all of their consoles going forwards now to be both. They've even in-house, they've merged development teams. They used to have, like, teams that were just working on 3DS games that were working on Switch games. Like, we'd have Super Smash Bros. For Wii U and Super Smash Bros. For Nintendo 3DS, and they'd be like the same game, but they had to be developed twice by two different teams so that they would work on very different hardware. It doesn't make sense to continue to do that. It must have cost them an absolute fortune to do that, like, in research and development. With the Switch, it's one piece of hardware, one piece of software, and it makes a lot of sense. You know, there might be some additional complexities if the Switch 2 or whatever it is does turn out to be significantly different to the original Switch, and there needs to be support for that original Switch. And we don't know if games move going forwards, right? Will they be labeled Switch 2 games and they'll only run on the Switch 2, or will they be Switch games that work on both, or will there be like some of each, right? Because you've got some PS4 games and PS5 games coming out now that you can play the PS5 games on PS5, like Ratchet and Clank, but you can't play them on PS4. But then there are, you know, vice versa, there are PS4 games that you can play on PS5 coming out. I'm curious, what do you both think? Do you think we'll see like a hard cutoff when the new console's announced?
I feel like you have to, because like I feel like The we always make the comparison to the smartphone market, and I don't think that that's like totally off base, right? Like it makes some sense. It's consumer tech. People are used to that cycle, but like, I don't know, like your smartphone, right? Like there are rarely apps that like that aren't things you use every day that like you're going to miss. Right, where it's like, oh yeah, this game that I really loved on mobile, it's not supported on this new device anymore. Like, I think that's probably a lot less common occurrence for like the average phone user. Whereas, like, if I get, you know, to the point where, okay, we have a Switch. We'll call it the Switch Advanced, right? It's not a Switch 2. It's a Switch Advanced. Okay, so I own this, right? At what point is there a Switch Advanced game that no longer works on the Switch? And how do you communicate that to the 100 million+ folks that own a Switch in a way that makes sense to them and isn't like confusing or alienating?
Yeah,
right?
Like whereas it was like, on the new Nintendo 3DS, like for those four games that only worked on the new Nintendo 3DS. Yeah. It was really confusing. Like it wasn't clear. And I think I kind of feel like a number, because I was dead against them. I was like, there's no way they're going to do a Switch 2. They've never named a console something 2. It's always just been a new name, like fresh branding, or let's just go for like move forward, or it's new something, right? The more like I think about it, the more like the number 2 just makes so much sense. It solves all those problems. Yeah. It's just like, oh, it's the second one of these, this console that everybody loved and sold absolutely hundreds of millions of. And I know that all of these games from the first one play on this, but these games don't play on the old one. And like that just clears everything up for everyone.
It just makes sense.
Yeah, it really
does. It's simple, yeah. Right? It's very simple. And the way that you get around, if there is like an era where we're putting out, like say Breath of the Wild 2 is a launch game on Switch 2, but there's also a Switch version. Well, guess how you communicate that to the consumer? If you want the one that works on Switch, buy the one that says Switch on the box. If you want the one that works on Switch 2, buy the one that says Switch 2 on the box. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and it worked. It works. It's a proven model, right? Like, and like, look at how easy, right, the marketing was and the transition has been for PlayStation 4 players, right? PlayStation had the same exact problem. We're the dominant console. We're releasing a new box. We want to make sure that everybody is excited and ready to jump to the next thing. And that message has been simple, right? If you're a PlayStation 4 player and you're looking for a new console, you're probably going to buy a PS5. And it's that easy, right? Every like normal person I know that plays video games had a PS4 and is going to buy a PS5. And they're ready to make that jump as soon as they can get their hands on one, or as soon as there's a game that they are dying to play that they can't play on their PS4. And that would work, I think, just as well for a Switch to a Switch 2 jump, you know? It's a straight line. And it's like that thing you said, Sierra, right? Where it's like you can easily communicate what the Switch 2 is versus the Switch, right? Of like, hey, you love the Switch? Great. Here's a better one. That's the conversation. It's not like, okay, here's the, you know, Nintendo fucking flibbity flop, and now we got to explain to you that, oh, it's a new console and it's like the Switch, but it has these new features. And it's like you have a whole other. The Switch branding is so strong, right? Why would you move away from that?
Yeah.
Right.
I agree. I think there's no chance that they're not coming up with something new, right? Every single time, there's always something new on one of their consoles, some new input method. Even if it's as simple as a microphone, I think they're adding something to that console that's different.
I would just love if they would just not, for once. Like, if they were just like, you know what? We're not going to come up with some new gimmicky bullshit. Like, it's just faster, okay? All the money, instead of going to R&D so we could develop foot cons, we just put a beast of a processor in this thing. It's really fast, and it loads like crazy, okay? Great. That's all I want. Does it hit 60 FPS on every game? Awesome. That's cool. That's all I need.
Perfect.
Right? Like,
I
like the Switch's gimmicks. They're good. I don't feel like we need more. Like, I feel like the more you just try to add shit, the more you get in a Wii U situation where it's like,
nunchucks.
We're just doing stuff to do stuff, huh? Oh
god, the nunchuck.
What about the balance board? That was a killer.
Hey. That worked for us. Like, the people fucking loved Wii Fit, though. Like, Wii Fit, so, and that's the thing. They can still do weird gimmicky shit. Look at how popular Ring Fit is.
Yeah.
Just make accessories.
And
I don't
tried
need you to
the
like
experiment. You know, Labo wasn't a huge success, but I love the fact that they try.
They tried to sell us cardboard.
They tried.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? A lot of folks bid on that, considering it was cardboard. So. They're doing something right over there. But yeah, I think like when it comes down to it, that's all I want is just a PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5 style upgrade where it's like, hey, here's a new, guess what? The new Switch, it's still got Joy-Cons. They don't drift. We fixed drift. Boom. Right? That would be a huge W. That's the kind of shit I'm looking for at this point, right? Is like, just make the games run better, make the build quality higher.
Yeah.
I'd be
it's
happy.
It's so sad that's like, that's our tallest ask. But, you know, it's Nintendo.
But it's also like, I think they got so much right with the Switch that I'm like, it's not broken. Like, I don't have any problem with it aside from the fact that it's old. You know? But, I mean, shit. Well, to your point, like, there's a lot of other quality of life, like, right? Like, good online would be awesome. Can we have a good online infrastructure?
But, I think we said on last week's episode, I think that's something that we need on both, right? That's software. Like, software, if it happens, I want that those software features backported to the Switch. Like, there's
even
no
if it's not. Like, just fucking come on. Like, can this be the one? Can this be the one where you do a good job with online? Like, that would be awesome. Last thing, and we'll close it out here. I think one of the things that really helped the Switch's launch in 2017 was what a killer launch library they had. What, in a perfect world, what do you want the first year of the Switch to look?
Yeah, it would have been this year, right? It would have been Splatoon 3 and Breath of the Wild 2, but like...
and a new Pokemon.
Yeah.
I know, it's like... At this point, what will be left to launch the next console with?
Part of me wonders...
Metroid Prime?
I think Metroid Prime 4 is a really fucking good candidate.
And I also think the next 3D Mario.
Yeah, true. That's maybe why we never got a Galaxy 2. But then I also wonder, are they delaying Breath of the Wild 2?
But I don't think they do that. Like, miss out on holiday sales for that? I don't think so.
They didn't put it out. We thought for fucking sure it was going to come out last year.
Yeah, I don't think so. I would like it to be that, but then, you know, this analyst is totally wrong, which I would also like, because I want it next year.
I mean, not necessarily, though, right? Like, think about it. The Breath of the Wild was revealed in 2014. And it was supposed to come out on the Wii U, and they delayed it.
Yeah, but isn't it delayed until next year? It's delayed until next year. It's not delayed until 2024 at this point.
Yeah, but... Okay, but so then what happens when next year there's another video where Inuma comes out and says, you know what? Sorry, gang. We're still working on it.
With that black background.
He's like, hey.
He's got another nice new haircut.
He's like, you know what, guys? I know, right? Another delay. Total bummer. But think about it. You love Breath of the Wild. It took us 6 years to make it. It's going to take us 6 years to make this one. That's cool, right? And like, yeah, we'll all throw our hands up and be upset. But like, they've done it twice. Like, I've thought that game was coming out the last 2 years. And it's still not here. And guess what? We're still doing a Nintendo podcast, right? Like, Switches are still selling. If they delayed the game another, like, again, right? It's already delayed to next year. All they would have to do to fit the timeline that we're talking about is delay it one more year. And not even a whole year. Because if they tell us, oh yeah, it's coming out like late 2023 now, and then they delay it to March when they launch the Switch 2, and it's a dual release, how crazy is that? It's not unheard of, right?
Right.
I don't want that to happen, though. I want Breath of the Wild sooner rather than later. You know, I wanted Breath of the Wild this year. Like, looking at the year for me, it's like it's quiet as hell. So I want Breath of the Wild ASAP, and I don't think the hardware's going to be ready when that game's ready.
I mean, yeah, but maybe you hold it. What better way to guarantee really the success of the next console, right? They did it with Switch. I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I think that's what's happening. The more I think year one is Breath of the Wild 2. Metroid Prime 4.
And a Mario game.
Mario Kart 9.
I mean, it could be, because then Mario Kart 8's DLC's all out by that point, you know, because it's up to the end of 2023, so maybe.
I don't know.
Crazy.
I don't know. It's great. It's crazy to think about, but we're getting there. I feel like it's, I wouldn't be surprised if they tell us about a new successor this year at E3 timing.
I think that's on my predictions list as well, that we hear about it this year, that they finally acknowledge it, that there is one.
Yeah. Could be.
Because all they've said up to this day is the Switch is only halfway through its life cycle. It's like, that means nothing, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I guess we'll have to wait and see. But I'm itching for a new one at this point. I'm ready for a Switch 2.
Same.
The Steam Deck has only proved to me that I'm ready for a new one, because it's exciting to have a new handheld, and I would really love to see Nintendo come out with something that excites me the way that the Switch did, you know, when we saw it for the first time. So here's hoping.
Yep.
All right, so let us know what you're thinking about everything. Are you going to be playing Fall Guys when it comes to Nintendo Switch? Are you eager for a Nintendo Switch 2? Or are you feeling good with the Switch as it is? You know, maybe you just picked up your new OLED like Sierra and I, and you're like, you know what? I just got a new Switch. I'm good. I want to hear from you. Let us know what you're thinking about it and what you'd like to see. Sierra, thank you as always for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
Let the people know where they can find you.
I am on twitch.tv/SierraPlusUltra 3 nights a week. And I'm also on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
And you got your branding on lock. It's just Sierra Plus Ultra everywhere. So
yeah.
Go check it out.
Wow, no underscores.
Sierra Plus Ultra.
Wow. You just had to drive by me like that, huh, Steve? It's not my fault that some jackass took a loud peed on Twitter 30 years ago, never tweets, ever, hasn't tweeted since. Oh,
that's always, they never use the account when it's the one that you want.
Scumbag shit.
I wanted to make my at on Twitter before I, like, for sure locked in being a Twitch streamer. I wanted to make my at Pinay, like Filipino, like P-I-N-A-Y, Colada.
But that's good.
Some girl took that username. Never tweets on that account. It's dormant. It has not been released. But it's fine now.
Release the accounts, all right, Twitter?
Release the at.
Release the at. All right, so if you want to support us and this show, there's a bunch of ways you can do it. Head over to flipscreen.games. You'll find links to our Patreon, to our Twitch channel, to our social media. Wherever you want to get us, we're there. We appreciate you. Come join the Discord right into the show. Be a part of it. However you choose to do so, we appreciate you. So, for Nintendo Noise, I've been Pete. She's been Sierra. He's been Steve. We'll see you next week.